Maybe you're already beginning to switch off because you're thinking, well, this is going to be another one of those sermons where the preacher stands up and says, well, what you've got to do is give more, pray more, and fast more. Now, I want to assure you this morning, that's not what Jesus is saying here. It's not about praying more, fasting more, and giving more. What Jesus is saying here is radical. It's life-changing. And we need to pay careful attention to what he's saying in chapter 6, 1 to 18. And so to help us to think that through, I'm going to ask you a question. Here's the question. Is it possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason? Is it possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason? Let's think a little bit closely, more particularly at home for Christians here. Is it possible for those who belong to God's royal family to serve King Jesus for the wrong reasons? I don't know what's going on in your head right now. Let me just put you out of your misery. Jesus thinks you can. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. He starts by saying, be careful. So there's a warning here. What follows is a warning. Beware. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. So what's righteousness? Righteousness, practicing righteousness, is doing the right thing. Doing what is pleasing to God. But it says doing the right thing to be seen by others. In other words, doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. We are not to be people who do things so other people see it. Doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. And so Jesus is warning his disciples, including us, that we mustn't be people who do the right thing for the wrong reasons. So did you notice that Jesus mentions the word hypocrite? Did you see that in verse 2? Have a look at verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do. And again in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. And then again in verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. This word hypocrites, it is a word to describe someone who loves to perform in front of people. They love to be in front of an audience. Their motivation is to stand up, to say or to do something, and then for everyone to give them a round of applause and to pat them on the back as they come off the stage and say, well done, wasn't that brilliant? And so Jesus is warning against people like that. But you know, it's more than that. Like, think of the disciples sitting at Jesus' feet. See, what's shocking about this is the people that Jesus has in mind. He's talking about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. I can't imagine they were the people that the disciples sitting at his feet were thinking of at that moment in time. See, earlier on in chapter 5, in the first part of Jesus' sermon, he starts talking to the disciples about the Pharisees and the teachers. And he says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. They need to do something different, something more than what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are doing. So basically what he's saying is, don't be like them. They're doing the right things, but they're totally doing it for the wrong reason. They're standing up in front of you and they're performing so they can get a round of applause. They want a pat on the back. But actually, he says, being part of God's royal family, that's not how we're to behave. That's not what it means. So he sits there talking to the disciples. You need to be careful. Don't be like them. And so it's appropriate for them, and therefore it's appropriate for us today at Silver Street, isn't it? There are three things we need to be careful of. These are things I think, or I found difficult. Reasons I need to be careful, reasons we need to be careful. First one, we need to be careful because there are people who say they are Christians who do the right thing for the wrong reason. And they encourage other people to do exactly the same thing. Maybe you know people like that. Second reason, we have to be careful because we have an enemy, the devil. And he would love nothing more than for this church to be full of individuals who do the right thing for the wrong reason. And more closer to home, we have sinful hearts. And our sinful hearts will constantly tempt us to do the right thing for the wrong reason. Now, granted, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you and he's making you more like Jesus. We're not there yet. And so we must be careful to guard our hearts, to keep watch over our hearts, so that we don't give in to those sinful desires. Now, if you're anything like me, you can be good sometimes at justifying when you do this. Oh, yeah, it was just because this. Or, oh, it's all right because. Or maybe you kind of try and find loopholes in the Bible to kind of justify doing the right thing for the wrong reason. But I think this morning we've got to come humble. We've got to let God's words teach us. It's got to let rebuke us, to train us, so that we can be people who live for Jesus. So that's what we're going to do. So I want to spend some time this morning listening to what Jesus has to say about what it means to do the right thing for the right reasons. Do you want to? Oh, there it is. Oh, just keep go back, and again. And again. Go back. That's it. Woo. All right. So we're going to spend some time looking at what it means to do the right thing for the right reason. Okay, and there's two halves to this. Okay, tell them I'm a football fan. There's two halves. The first half, okay, we're going to zoom out and we're going to look at the basic underlying principle for verses 1 to 18. All right. What's he talking about? The principle behind it all. And then in the second half, we're going to zoom in and we're going to look at the details of chapter 1 to 18. And what that means in our daily lives as believers, okay? So let's start by zooming out. Doing the right thing for the right reason means this. Go on, Josh. It means what matters most is that you are seen by your Father in heaven. When I started secondary school, I was really excited about the chance I had to play for the school football team. I know my sons were the same when they started secondary school. And I remember we'd had the trials, and it was the week before the first football match, and we're all really excited, and then the list goes up on the PE. Some people don't know what I'm talking about here. Has anyone been through this? Yes, some of you are nodding, that's good. And there's a list that goes up on the board, and that day's really exciting, because you all gather around, oh, there's my name on the list, and there was my name, Gareth Skirm, with captain written next to it. Yes. Now, I'm not being proud, I was the captain of the B team. Okay, but we're laughing at. But I was excited because I was representing my school and it was really exciting. And I remember that Saturday when the game came, vividly, I can still remember it. And I wasn't excited. What mattered to me most was not that it was my first football match at big school. It wasn't that there was going to be loads of mums and dads there from all over the place watching the game. It wasn't that, you know, what my teammates going to think of my captain skills. What mattered most was that my dad saw everything. So I wanted to play the best I possibly could because my dad was watching. As it goes, we lost 14-2. But it didn't matter because my dad was watching. What mattered most was that my dad was watching. Now that's a little bit like what Jesus is talking about here, the principle behind it. He's teaching his disciples that when you to do the right thing for the right reason, it matters who's watching. That's what should matter to you. But it's who is watching. It's your Father in heaven. Have a look at, just so you know I'm not making this up, look at verse 4. So just before that, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Go down to verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then verse 18, across the page. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So do you see the principle that's underlying this? What matters most to the disciples should be that their Father in heaven is watching. Now, did you manage to count how many times he says Father? Anyone? Do you reckon 10? Anyone higher? Lower?
9.
Okay. If you've got 10 in your head, you get a sweet at the end of the sermon. Very good. It is 10. Well counted. Isaac, you need to work on your math skills. Right. 10 times. Now, in this whole sermon, right, this is chapter 6. In chapter 5, Jesus only mentions the Father 3 times. In the chapter that follows, in chapter 7, he mentions him twice. In chapter 6, 10 times, he talks about the Father in heaven. That means that there's something very important for this part of the sermon, for us to hear today, about our Father in heaven. And it's very simple. It's because our relationship with our Father in heaven should shape the things that we do. It should have a profound effect on the way that we live. So we use the word Father, and we assume when we use the word Father, we have a father and we have a child. There is a relationship going on. Do you want to put the next slide up? I know. It's a picture of a child being dependent upon their father. They're using my arm there, by the way. I let them take a picture. I wish. It's a picture of a dependent relationship of a child with their father. But did you notice also that every time he says father, just look down, look at a father, what's before where he says father? Your or our. You see, it's not just a relationship. It's a personal, your intimate, your relationship with the Father in heaven. But it's more than that. Next slide. Josh. It's our Father in heaven. The all-powerful creator who we get to have an intimate, personal relationship with. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. I think we have to reflect on that. I think the disciples would have reflected on that. It is a wonderful, awesome privilege to be part of a royal family with our Father in heaven. And so what Jesus does is he uses the example of these religious leaders and says, look, they're doing things, the right things, for the wrong reasons. Do not be like them. They're here, they're right, they want a round of applause. That's what they're about. They want a pat on the back. But actually what motivates a disciple should be first and foremost that their Father in heaven sees what they do. So what does that mean for us here this morning? Well, when I said the word Father, I'm guessing for many of us it conjured up all sorts of experiences. Maybe some people sitting today have had a positive relationship with their father. They've got good fathers. Maybe some of you here today have grown up without a father actively involved in your life. Maybe some of you have huge strains in your relationship with your father even now. See, the problem with earthly fathers is they let us down, don't they? Even the best dads get it wrong. But that's not the case with your Father in heaven. See, if you're a Christian, how are we supposed to view our Father in heaven? Look down at chapter 5, verse 48. If you're a Christian, this is wonderful. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. See, whilst our earthly fathers have flaws, we have a Father in heaven who is flawless. He is perfect. He will never let us down. Contrast that with some of the relationships that you know of, either your own father or others. You see, being his son or being his daughter was so important to our Father in heaven that he sent the Lord Jesus down to die the most gruesome death and so that he rose again so that you can have that relationship with him. If someone was willing to lay down their life for you, it must be important. And so how precious and so how privileged are we that we can say we have a Father in heaven. I'm grateful for my earthly father, but how much more grateful am I for my Father in heaven? Is a fun thing you might want to try. As I've been kind of thinking this sermon through over the last week or so, I've been playing this game, or it's a challenge, and we've done it a little bit on holiday last week. It's called the A to Z challenge. Okay, what you do is you choose a topic, and then you do the A to Z of that topic. All right. And this is what I did. I've done this a number of times, and it really helped me to pray, and it really helped me to engage. The A to Z of God. Don't do it now, because you won't be listening to me. But try it. When you go home, or when you're walking, I do it when I walk the dog. And I go through the A to Z of God and focusing on the Father as well, because he's God. And it is so awesome. Like, I challenge you not to smile on that walk as you do that challenge. It's awesome. And so we're being reminded this morning that we need to do the right thing for the right reason. to please our Father in heaven, because it matters. Now, maybe you're not yet a Christian. Okay, you're here this morning, you're really welcome, and you're not yet a Christian. But this has become a bit of a surprise, because you thought being a Christian was all about being religious, right? You thought, well, okay, you know, it's just about doing the right thing, being a good person, you know, going to church, wearing the right clothes or whatever it is, having your Bible dusty on your desk. But actually, it's not about that. It's about an intimate relationship with the Father in heaven. Now, it's a relationship actually none of us deserve. No one in this room can sit there and go, yep, I deserve this relationship with God. Because we have lived our life ignoring it. We have a tendency to try and live without God. So imagine if I was living in my house with my kids and they ignored me the whole time. It's not far from the truth, but Isaac, do the washing up. Isaac, do the washing up. Totally ignored me. It wouldn't be a very good relationship, would it? In fact, that's what the Bible calls sin, to ignore your Father in heaven. And so we have this problem. We have the Father in heaven, there is us, and there is this sin in the way, which stops us having a relationship. And what we need is this sin to be taken away. And because he's a perfect Father in heaven, what does he do? He gives us a way for our sins to be taken away. And that's why he sent Jesus. Jesus came as a man. Came as a baby, sorry. He grew up to be a man. And he died on a cross. And then he rose again. And he did that so that my sin that's in the way can be taken away. And now I can have this wonderful relationship with my Father in heaven. And it's the same for every believer. And if you want to know more about that, please, please come and speak to me or to Patrick or maybe a Christian who's brought you this morning. So, you all still with me? Yeah? Doing the right thing for the right reason. Josh, you want to send us across? That's it. Perfect. What matters most is that you're seen by your Father in heaven. Now, we're going to zoom out, okay? We zoomed out, we're going to zoom in. Now we're going to look at what it means in our daily lives. Okay, so look down again. You can see it split into kind of three sections. You've got that verse one. We've just done verse one, really, by the way. We've got 17 verses left. Oh, dear. Right. what does it mean? It's split up into three sections, okay? And so we're going to look at very practically at what it looks like in the daily lives of believers. So do you want to put it on the screen for me, Josh? Thanks, mate. Here it is. The right thing for the right reason. It means we need to be careful about how we give, how we pray, and how we fast. Now, there's loads of stuff in here, right? So we could go on for another hour and we could really go into all the different things, what it means, all of this stuff. But I'm just going to go quickly through, just pointing out the obvious, okay? And it's on giving, praying, and fasting. But before we do that, I want you to notice a word before each of the different sections, okay? Look what it says. It says, so when, in verse 2. In verse 5, it says, and when you pray. And verse 16, it says, when you fast. And the point of Jesus saying that is it's assumed that if you are a believer, that you are already doing these things. It's not that you do it to be saved. You are saved and then you do it. It is assumed. It is part of being part of this privileged royal family. And so we've got this pattern that then follows, okay? Do you want to put it up, Josh, for me? It's a pattern that follows in each of the different sections. So the first one, in giving to the needy, is a pattern. Jesus gives us an example of doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, the wrong way. Then he talks about the right way. And then he gives the reason why we should do it that way. All right? Now we go through the pattern. Here we go. Verse 2, look down. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So, the wrong way. The wrong way is to announce with trumpets. It's the hypocrites, they were walking down the street, and on the way to the synagogue, you can imagine the trumpets are blaring, it's all very exciting, everyone's looking, and then they give to the needy. But actually, this isn't unique to the religious leaders here. We could go, oh yeah, that's what they did back then. But actually, we do it today. Our society is full of this. So let me give you an example. Think of Red Nose Day, or think of Children in Need. You know the programme, the long programmes on for hours. like 7 till midnight or something like that, okay? And on that program, you have those companies, don't you? And they stand up at the front in the show holding a massive giant check with millions written on it. So-and-so company is going to give £1 million to children in need. Woo! Everyone's clapping, everyone's here and hollering. Oh, the lights are kind of flashing. There's smoke machines and all sorts. Now, are we naive enough to think that they're doing that out of the goodness of their own hearts? Or are they doing it because they want to be seen by others? That they want to make a name for themselves? It's everywhere in society. But actually, we want to be careful not to go, oh yeah, that's those naughty companies or Sainsbury's. Ooh. We do it. Even Christians do it. So we're tempted as we're talking in conversation to kind of slip into the conversation. Oh yeah, I was giving to so-and-so, and oh, I gave to this person, or oh yeah, I support that person. And sometimes we even say how much we give. Because we want others to see that we're doing something, we're giving. And we must be careful not to be like this, Jesus says. Verse 3, have a look down at verse 3. This is the right way. So you had the wrong way, the right way. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. So imagine there's a scale, and at one end of the scale it's how you don't do this. You know, the clapping, the trumpets. But at the end, or at the other end of the scale, the right way, we have to be careful not to let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. Now, that doesn't mean literally that you're trying to, well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to give and get my... Well, it's not literal, it's metaphorical, okay? In other words, it should be in secret. If your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing, then certainly someone outside the door in this room is not going to know that either. It's to be done in secret. And why? What's the reason why? Verse 4. So that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The why is the same for all three. The why is because what matters most is that your Father sees what you are doing. It's the same for all three. But what about praying? You still with me? Yes? Praying? Okay. Here we go. Praying is obviously a big deal here because he gives two examples. Two examples of how not to do it, the wrong way. All right, verse 5, he says, let me find it. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now skip down a bit to verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. So you've got this one group, the religious leaders, who are like they were with giving. They're kind of strutting their stuff around, standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, in the places where they can get maximum exposure so that everyone can see them. And then you've got the pagans, the babbling pagans, okay? And they're praying, and it's all about quantity, not quality. They just babble, babble, babble. And in those days, it would have been reciting the same prayer over and over again, because if they did that, they thought that then they would get hurt. Jesus says, you've got to be careful not to be like that. And again, it's actually really easy for this to slip into our thinking. Here's a question. This is a massively challenging question. This is one that's challenging me the most, I think, as I've thought this through. Is your public prayer life better than your private prayer life? Is your public prayer life better than your private prayer life? So, for example, is the only time you pray when you are with others, whether that's with your wife or in grow group or during church? Or are you the sort of person who, you know, is quick to write a prayer on Facebook or to publish it on Twitter? I think it's called tweeting, right? So I'm just catching up. Or on Instagram, whatever it is. Or are you the sort of person that says on text, I'll pray for you, but then you don't? See, it's not wrong to do any of those things, okay? But if that is the only reason why we are doing it, so that people see that we are some sort of prayer warrior, but we're not, then we need to be careful. Have a look at verse 6. Here's the right way. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. It's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Do those things out there. That's a good thing to pray publicly. There's nothing wrong with praying publicly. Go into a room, spend some one-to-one time with your Father in heaven. In our family, we have something called Daddy Days. Daddy Days are a day which I set aside to spend one-to-one with one of my children. Okay, so it's not the only day I see my children, obviously, but it's a special day. Okay, so I say to them, look, we can do anything you want within reason, at whatever cost within reason, and you get my undivided attention, and I get your undivided attention. Okay, and it's a wonderful thing to do. If you don't do it, have a go. It's brilliant, and it's wonderful because it is a time where we are together, one-to-one, where we can appreciate the relationship that we have. And it's really important that we do that with our Father in heaven. What about the babbling pagans? I babble. I definitely babble sometimes when I pray. I'm struggling for whatever reason. And Jesus is really helpful here. He says, look, it's not about quantity. It's about quality. And if you're struggling, have a look down at verse 9. 9 to 13, he gives us a way of helping us to pray. It's not like if you say these words and everything works out fine. But another challenge for you, maybe this week, spend some time simply praying through these words and thinking about them. We haven't got time to go through each verse and what they mean, but it is a wonderful thing to do. But why should we pray like this then? What's the why? It's very simple. Because what matters most is your Father in heaven sees you doing it. That's what matters when you pray. Okay, next one. And fasting. Now fasting, I think it's a bit of an odd one. Because I don't think some people really, I didn't really know what fasting was back in the day, and I've had to kind of grow and mature and learn what that is. But here's what fasting is. So fasting is when you deny yourself something so that you can focus more on God. So you deny yourself something so you can focus on God. So for example, and it often comes alongside prayer, so a person might give up eating for a period of time so that they can dedicate that time to praying and to thinking and talking to God about something maybe specific, a need that you have, or something in the church going on in the church family. And in verse 16, look down. Here's a wrong way to do it. When you fast, do not be somber like the hypocrites. That is, do not be gloomy, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Be careful not to be like them. So what are we supposed to do? Verse 17. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father. So the basic principle here is if you're going to fast, it should look like no one every other day. So I could be fasting now and you wouldn't know it. I'm not walking around with a gloomy face, I don't think. Okay? I'm not looking somber, just normal, average Gareth at the front. But I could be fasting. But what does it mean? Well, actually, this has been a challenge to me because I thought, oh, maybe I need to... I know I didn't say... I don't need to walk out thinking I've just said, you've got to go and fast more. But I need to fast more. This is a great thing to do. Jesus says it's a good thing to do. So maybe I should fast more. Maybe I should set time aside. And why? Because what matters most is that your Father sees what you are doing. Right, so we got it? All happy? Good. Doing the right thing for the right reason. It means being careful about how you give, how you pray, and how you fast. And it's a warning. Remember, it's a warning because we will be tempted not to do that. And actually, Jesus kind of, in lots of different verses in the passage, he kind of just sort of says, look, if that's what you're after, you go ahead. Because all you're going to get is this from people. That's it. But if you want to be someone who gives, prays, and fasts, because it matters that your father sees you do it, then what you will get is a reward from your father which is miles better than a round of applause. Let me encourage you to be people this week who give, who fast, and who pray, so that your father who loves you and gave his son for you can see you do it. Should we pray? Let's pray.